anytech.co.uk.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. Hello. We are raising awareness and funds for research by the Institute of Cancer Research to discover a targeted chemo or cure for this rare form of cancer called desmoplastic small round cell tumors, DSRCT. Sadly, any treatment or cure for Kelly is too late, but you can help us try to fight this horrible disease and help other young people in the future. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save children's lives. Thank you.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for two.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Ah, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. And James Propmaker has made a very good point, and he's absolutely right. He said Tears of a Clown was actually originally Smokey Robinson. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, James.
Who looked it up? It was Manda,
yeah. She said the Miracles, but it's Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
I played it enough times.
Yeah. And there was also a cover version by The Beat in the 80s, he says. But Tears of a Clown was one of my favourite tracks when I was a kid. It really was. Cool. Thank you for that, James. Do keep your tweets coming, everyone. I'm going to try and catch up with them. Zina Narani has said, these are responses to the things you were saying, Phil. Recovery teaches us growth and resilience. If fear is shown, then others feed on it. Go with the flow, I say, and keep smiling. And she's saying, listening in to the amazing Vanilla Webb and Amanda right now, the mighty duo. Love you guys. Thank you, Zina. That's really kind of you. I'm trying to work out the ones that Amanda has already spoken or read out, because there's quite a few here. I'll come to those in a minute. Let me read an email. Canterbury Christchurch University are hosting a free virtual half-day conference at Canterbury Christchurch University. Alongside key partners across a range of industries and sectors, they will be hosting a free virtual half-day conference aimed at SME businesses, providing them with the opportunity to access information on support, funding and skills to develop their innovation potential. The conference will be a virtual event on the 13th of October between 9:15 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. You can find out more details and register for your online place by going to canterbury.ac.uk/businessgridconference2021. That's canterbury.ac.uk/businessgridconference2021. So do check that out. It sounds like a really interesting free event. What else have I got here? KPM Group are celebrating 20 years by looking to the future. Communication and mail specialist KPM Group are celebrating their 20th anniversary this September. The company was founded by Neil Kopp in 2001, and it now operates from a 22,000 square foot factory in Sevenoaks, Kent, employing 42 people. KPM, which incorporates TMB Mailing and KPM Media, are known for their work across multiple industries, including the financial services, local government, charities, arts and leisure and education sectors. After 20 successful years, KPM have had a busy 12 months. In the middle of the pandemic, they acquired fellow Kent-based mailing house and digital printer TMB Mailing. They completed the deal in October 2020. The TMB team are integrated within KPM, while KPM actually moved to TMB's Sevenoaks premises in November. You can find out more about the group by going to their website, which is www.kpmgroup.co.uk. So fantastic. Well done, everyone. And a charity, the chief executive of a charity, is inviting job applications from Afghan refugees. The CEO of Diagrama Foundation is encouraging job applications from Afghan refugees as his charity reaches crisis point recruiting care home workers. We've discussed this so many times. We have a crisis of employment where we have far too many jobs. There's over a million unfilled jobs at the moment in the UK. Charity Diagrama has care homes for the elderly and for adults with learning difficulties, as well as supported living service and semi-independent homes for young people. The charity currently has an unprecedented number of vacancies for support workers in its care centres in Clacton-on-Sea in Essex, Orpington and Bromley in Kent, and Canterbury in Kent, and would like to reach out to refugees. David Maguire, the chief executive of Diagrama, said, "We have never had this number of vacancies before, and despite trying to recruit from our normal routes, we are struggling to fill these positions. We have all watched the events unfolding in Afghanistan and the number of refugees who will need homes and employment within the UK, and we would have love to hear from agencies supporting these people to see if they are working with people who can join us to give excellent care to our residents. If you want to find out more, you can drop an email to hr@diagrama, that's diagrama@diagrama.org, or you can view them on their website, which is diagramafoundation.org.uk/job-vacancies. So do check that out. And whilst we're talking about charities, the lovely folks We Are Beams from Hextall has won the Kent Children's Charity of the Year. We Are Beams has been announced as Children's Charity of the Year at this year's Kent Charity Awards. Now in its sixth year, the annual awards recognise the hard work and perseverance undertaken by volunteers and trustees across the county to make the lives of others better. The charity awards are open to both small and large charities, whether a branch of a national charity or a small community-based organisation. Following a very challenging year, there was a real sense of celebration for all the charities that attended the awards ceremony at the majestic Rochester Cathedral. Beams are delighted to have won the Children's Charity of the Year category, and this is the second time they've won this prestigious accolade. Receiving the award this year is even more special, as the charity is celebrating its 25th anniversary of supporting disabled children and their families in Kent and Medway. So fantastic, very well done, and brilliant news. I think what we'll do now is we'll hear from our next guest, Phil. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Penny Williams, the Chief Executive of Kenwood Trust. Let's hear what Penny had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show this afternoon Penny Williams. Penny is the Chief Executive of Kenwood Trust. Penny, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me on your wonderful show.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to see you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. For the one or two people that don't know, and there can't be many that don't know, but just for the one or two that don't, give us an overview of Kenwood Trust, who you are and what it is you do.
Kenwood Trust is a charity based in Yalding. We have a 15-acre Georgian house where we're helping people to overcome addiction, either in a residential rehab that we have there, or we offer day treatment as well. We also have move-on properties across Kent and into Sussex, which means that when people have completed their residential rehab, which can be 12 to 24 weeks, they often want to stay within a supportive community, living with other people on their recovery journey. Right. And so they live in those communities. And we also do work in schools, actually. We've produced several videos, and we do presentations to try and help young people understand the dangers of drink and drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to look at the process, the people that come to you for help, they can be recommended by some authority, presumably, or they can self-fund. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there is funding for those that may have sort of lost their houses, lost their homes, lost their sort of work, and therefore there are There is funding available from government, but sort of also
not a lot though.
Not a lot, no. No, it is sadly a sector that has had its budgets reduced and reduced, so less people can sort of apply for that. And we're seeing more and more self-funders now, often referred by GPs, but you don't have to be referred. You can just phone up, talk to our team, and we'll assess your needs. Self-funders often stay with us for sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And often, because families have been concerned about a loved one or friends, and so they reach out for some treatment. And residential treatment is very, very effective, partly because I also call it a bit of a reboot, really, taking yourself away from the things that are making you drink or take drugs. Gives you that opportunity to reboot your life and start again.
Yeah. I mean, just as someone that gave up smoking many years ago, a lot of these things are situational, are they not? You know, you get used to where the things that happen around you and the places that you are kind of triggers for indulging in these things.
They can be. Yeah, you're right. I mean, your environment and friendships and everything can be your triggers. Yeah. That's often for high functioning alcoholics.
Yeah.
However, I think that in many instances, we find that the self-medication using drink and drugs often comes from a trauma, and that can often be from a childhood trauma. Mm. You know, we also deal with people with PTSD coming out of the forces, and I think we've all seen publicity around that. There isn't enough support for those who have served our country, and they're often abandoned when they come back to the UK with lots of issues.
Yeah, and of course, there's also the issue of homelessness. And I believe I'm right in saying that, you know, a lot of people think that a majority of people are homeless because they have drink and drug addictions. But in actual fact, a lot of people have drink and drug addictions because they're homeless, if you see what I mean. You know, they're self-medicating because they're out on the streets and it's all they can do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, it does go hand in hand. And I think, sadly as well, the perceptions are that those people that fall onto hard times aren't worth saving. And I think as a charity trying to raise money, it's always been really challenging for us. But I'm pleased to say I think perceptions are changing, and ironically, the pandemic has helped that change, that more and more people are aware that they've increased their drinking in particular, and that it's so easy to fall into that trap, that actually it's an illness addiction. It's not just people who are criminals, you know.
The
perception.
Talking about a pandemic, I'm guessing, well, I know Kenwood, like so many other organisations, suffered during the pandemic in terms of funding. You know, there's a lot of donors and people like that. Their businesses were hit by the pandemic and didn't have the cash available any longer. So how was the pandemic for Kenwood Trust, and how did you cope with it?
Well, first of all, I think the team coped amazingly well. I mean, we were all thrown into a completely unique and unexperienced situation that, you know, the responsibility weighs quite high on us, that we're looking after people who are very vulnerable, who have CPOD or, you know, other illnesses that the virus could hit very badly.
Yeah.
But I'm pleased to say we kept the site safe. We had protocols in place. The staff were amazing. so we survived very well. We've got several buildings, so we're able to have a quarantine area and still during quarantine, whereas you know, many have relaxed their rules, we're still continuing it, as there is still high infection rates.
And of course, everyone's tested that comes onto the site, and all of those protocols.
Absolutely. And there was more government funding. This meant that more people stayed with us for longer, rather than more people receiving treatment.
Right.
We've seen an increase in people coming for our day treatment because of, I think, the impact of the pandemic. So ironically, in some ways, we were able to replace some of the cash that we lost from donations and fundraising actually through treating more people for longer. Right. Okay. So that was good. But now we're coming out of it. The funding has once again dropped.
Yeah.
And fundraising and donations are so much more important to us.
Yeah, so donate, everyone, donate.
Yes, please, hint, hint. Or adopt us as your charity for the year, all you lovely companies out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
one
of the things I do, I buy loads of stuff on Amazon. And Amazon has a thing called Smile. And if you sign up, all you have to do is register your account as a Smile account. And what happens is Amazon donate a percentage of everything you buy to a charity of your choice. Now, my charity is Kenwood Trust. So they just, every time you buy something, they donate a tiny amount of each purchase to that charity. But it all adds up with me, because I spend a bloody fortune on Amazon. It all adds up to quite a lot. And if more people do it, then the money just flows in small amounts every time you buy something. So sign up, Smile, and then pick Kenwood Trust as your charity of choice. Right, that's an order.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's an order. You must do it, listeners. I want to move on now, Penny, to another side of Kenwood Trust and the bit that is a major fundraising arm, which, of course, was stopped completely by the pandemic, which is Kenwood Place. And you made reference when you first introduced yourself into the fact that you've got a gorgeous Georgian country house set in the most wonderful setting, basically in the Lewes Valley, basically. Yalding is just outside Maidstone, for Jules's information, because she doesn't know anywhere in Kent. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, tranquil setting of woodland and open field and meadows and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of activities that go on there normally that you use to fund the activities of the charity. So leaving aside the fact that you haven't been able to do that for 18 months, at some point soon, and I know already you have opened some of those facilities, I'd like to talk now, if we may, about the things that you offer both to the public and to organisations.
Yeah, so Kenwood Place is really our fundraising side of the organisation, and uses part of the Georgian house and part of the wonderful grounds that we've got to offer alpaca walks. We've got 8 alpacas, and a lot of the time throughout this pandemic, we've been able to do those on and off because they're outdoors and we follow safety guidance.
I'm smiling because it sounds like such a simple thing, alpaca walks. You go, yeah, okay, you go for a walk. But Amanda and our daughter Lucy went on the walk a couple of months ago, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. Lucy was mortified when it finished and wanted to go back the next day. You know, it was it's just such good fun, isn't it?
Yeah, no, people absolutely love it, and I have to say, I love watching people run around the site on their walks. We have a charity shop as well, so we sell a lot of alpaca type things, cuddly toys, aprons, towels, all sorts of things, mugs. So all of this helps feed money back into the charity. We have archery and we have frisbee golf as well. We're about to start afternoon teas in October, and you can book all of these online at kenwoodplace.co.uk.
I want to come back to the frisbee golf, because that kind of might have gone over a lot of people's head, but it's really, again, it's one of those really interesting things. You get
great fun.
What on earth is frisbee golf? Well, there's only one way you're going to find out, and that's to come and have a go. But I'm telling you, it is massive, massive fun. And you know, there's a course laid out around the grounds for frisbee golf. And if you run a small business in the Maidstone area, why not get a team event going and challenge somebody to a frisbee golf championship?
Absolutely.
So, um, so
I was just going to mention the conference centre as well, if I may, Paul.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You know, general public can book on the website, come along and do any of the activities. We actually had a children's party on Saturday, which is wonderful. We have a very large room called the Sinden Room that we use for conferences, but also we can use it for sort of birthday parties, that type of thing. And then we've got the activities.
In years gone by as well, you also have events there, don't you, like Bonfire Night and Christmas fairs and things like that?
Yeah, we're going to have our first event in December, our Christmas fair, on the 27th of November, on the Saturday. It's our first one back since the pandemic, so all that sort of thing has been closed for 2 years. So, we'll have some Christmas stalls, and that sort of thing brings people on site, but also hopefully generates some good money for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. We were just about to talk about the conference facilities.
Well, yeah, it's just to say that, you know, the site, our strapline is bringing people together. And I think particularly after the pandemic, that's really positive for, both families who want to get together, but also businesses that want to bring people back in a meeting room, possibly do some of the activities as well. Do the team building. Having worked at home for so long, it's good to bring people back together in such a wonderful setting. So we can offer that to businesses as well as the general public at kenwoodplace.co.uk.
Fantastic, yeah. And you are reasonably busy with that as well, aren't you? There's a lot of organisations that do use you to stage their events.
Yeah, I'm pleased to say we had three conferences last week. Actually, another charity used us for their trustee board meeting. So, yes, we are taking more bookings every week, which is great news. And I think that the setting is so wonderful for meetings. You know, it's not that box that you get at a hotel and you can step outside into beautiful scenery as well. So, and a warm welcome from us.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, there's a formalised garden area as well, isn't there? That you can go and walk around and visit and meditate, because it's a very calming, beautiful space, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think the whole site is like that. But
it is.
Our celebration garden has been lovingly recovered and developed over the last few years by one of our trustees, Sandra Belton. In fact, her father actually was the founder of Kenwood Trust 53 years ago. So it's wonderful that she's come back to join us and has made such a difference in the gardens, which are beautiful to wander around.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to come back to something you were mentioning earlier, which is your move on housing. I just explain a little bit more about what happens with move on. I think I'm right in saying is what you own is a number of properties that operate as what are called HMOs, homes of multiple occupation. Although I don't know how this affects the charity, but there's a lot of government muttering about stopping HMOs for some bizarre reason. I don't know why.
Oh, I haven't heard about that. I mean, I just hope that we are exempt from that, because we're not a tough landlord with rotting buildings. We provide homes for our people in recovery, and they have support from each other. We also have key workers that visit every week, helping them find volunteering work, training, and adjusting to life back in the community. What we try to do is make people landlord ready so that they can then move on to their own house, but have had that support of that continuing journey. Because as you said earlier, there's still triggering things that can happen. It's not a straight fix for some people after 12 weeks rehab. So it enables us to continue that support. They often engage with AA, etc., community support. But it's about re-engaging with an environment and often waiting on the housing list then to become a house owner in that area.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And finally, I want to just talk briefly about the work that you're doing in schools.
So obviously that's been on hold, but it's come back. Mm. Actually, just before the summer holidays, we were able to get back into a few schools. Mm. And our latest project is called Cascade. So it's coaching years 12 and 13 in ways to then coach years 7 and 8 around this whole subject of drugs and alcohol. Mm. We issued a video to 160 settings over a year ago before the pandemic. So we're hoping that they will start to be used now going forward in the next 12 months. This is a full lesson plan, right, and videos that cover interviews with families that have lost young people mm. to drugs, but also a drug dealer, a doctor. So it gives people real information to make their own choices. So yeah, we don't tell people not to do it. Mm. We try and give them enough information that they can make the right choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to deal with situations of peer pressure to take something,
yeah,
you know, ways to get out of that.
Yeah.
And we found it to be really effective. The schools that we visited, we've had really good positive feedback from both young people and teachers.
Fantastic. You and the team at Kenwood do an absolutely stunning job, and you've done it under exceptionally difficult circumstances for the last couple of years, and we're mm. full of admiration for what you do. You've also managed to maintain one of Kent's great country houses.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, you know, as a charity, and you've got a building there that takes a lot of work to keep it up because it's an old, beautiful, as you say, Georgian country house. And the trouble with old, beautiful country houses is they tend to fall down a lot
yeah,
or develop little leaks and problems. So you've done a fantastic job in maintaining it all alongside all the brilliant work that you do in the main focus of the charity. So all power to you, Penny, and your team.
Thank you. You
know, keep on doing what you're doing. Can you give us a shout out again for the website so that people can go along and book their experiences and can come along and visit when that's allowed?
Yes, indeed. So you can make the bookings at kenwoodplace.co.uk. And then the charity website is kenwoodtrust.org.uk if you need some help and support for any friends or family.
Fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant. Penny, thank you so much for spending the time talking to us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing a fantastic job. And we'll see you again soon.
See you soon. Thank you, Paul.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was the fabulous Penny Williams, Chief Executive of Kenwood Trust, a charity that does incredibly important and expensive work and therefore needs to raise lots of funds. And just to help out, just visit the location there at Yalding, just outside Maidstone. There's some fantastic walks. You can do alpaca walks, as discussed during the interview. There's lots of activities to participate in, but just going there and walking around the gardens and walking around the grounds is a lovely experience. It's a lovely place. It's very serene and enjoyable. So thank you, Penny, for that. We've got a few things to tell you about. Still, Phil's still with me in the studio. We were just chatting about this and that. And I just asked Phil where he started with his music business. And he was just about to tell me he got his first drum kit when he was 7.
I was 7.
Yeah, cool. What made you go for the drums, Phil? Because a lot of kids go for guitars, don't they?
Yeah, I really don't know. I remember my first ever gig was playing timpani in the school.
Right.
When I was probably about eight or nine.
Right.
Playing to Lord of the Dance.
Yep, okay. Yep, all right, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just carried on from there. So, you know, you sort of fall around, you get a drum kit, you fall around, you join a band, et cetera. So.
I want to ask you a question, and you might kind of dismiss this, because I know that you're a great one for believing in people. But do you think you were a natural at it? Did it come naturally to you, or was it something you really had to learn?
I think the basics comes fairly natural, but it's like anything that you come across.
Yeah.
You know, you do really need to dig deep sometimes.
Yeah.
And with drumming, I'm learning every day. There's new things happening all the time. Mm. I mean, I never used to play to a click, which is a metronome.
Right, okay.
Which is in your ears all night.
Right.
But the shows I'm on, they have screens. They have big video walls behind them.
Right.
And they have to be synced in perfectly with the music.
Right.
So the click is linked in with the lighting, is linked in with the video wall. So if you can't play to a click, you're pretty much stuffed.
Right. Okay.
And you're not going to get that gig. So there's always things to learn.
Right.
I mean, my timing's okay. You know, it's always been okay. But when you load into a click, that's when you really find out what your timing's like.
Right, okay.
It's quite scary when the click vanishes.
Yeah, where's that gone?
It has happened.
Cool. There's a couple of things I want to do, and then obviously I'm going to do the Federation of Small Business News. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athelbray, and they say, Business Bunker, Vanilla Webb, Amanda, hope you're having a good afternoon. We're all in sunny Wales for a family holiday, but still taking calls and emails. If anyone has training requests, you can email Keith at athelbray.co.uk, or you can call us 07887 528 645, and they say Welly Ed Wedding, which is Welsh apparently for see you later. My pronunciation will probably get me shot by every Welsh person in the world, but sorry about that. And that's the lovely folks at Athelbray. There's a new apprenticeship scheme has been launched at Kent Garden City. The training is designed for apprentices currently working for employers in Ebbsfleet Garden City between Dartford and Gravesend, where there are plans for 15,000 homes when the site is complete. It invites them to join an aspirational value-added apprenticeship program offering experience and learning alongside their core nationally recognised qualification. Lara Poole, who is the skills coordinator at Ebbsfleet Development Corporation, said, "We want to support apprentices to feel part of the greater Garden City development and its ethos and develop pride in their contribution to the inclusive growth in the local area. Not only will apprentices be supported and learn new skills, but the scheme is also aimed at increasing retention and completion rates." So that sounds like a fantastic scheme. Good for young apprentices going into the construction industry, which is also what we need. Right, it's that time in the show where I do a news roundup of all things Federation of Small Business.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Entries are now open for the Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK, and you're invited. Whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way through to a spectacular UK final, it's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. It's free to enter, so what are you waiting for? If you go to www.fsbawards.co.uk, you can find out all the details of the awards for 2022, plus the nomination forms and everything you need in order to promote your business as one of the successes of UK small business. So do check that out. I'm going to give you a number of events now. At the end of this, I'm going to give you a link where you can find details of all of them and book your places. There's Maidstone Virtual Networking tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 22nd of September, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Peter Searle is hosting this free FSB Connect online event with association with the Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. on Tuesday the 28th of September from 12 noon until 1 p.m., how to make critical decisions when the stakes are high. How do you know when to pull the plug and when to persevere, or when to play it safe and when to do something audacious? Join the FSB and Andrew Payne, who will explore three common and mind-bending dilemmas faced by organisational leaders. That's a webinar on Tuesday the 28th of September, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. On Wednesday the 29th of September, 9:30 a.m. until 10:30 a.m, using and creating video to grow your business. At a time when businesses are fighting to survive, this isn't a case of investing millions into creating the next edition of the Star Wars franchise. No, actually, you've probably got all the tools you need to set you up right now. Because all you need is a smartphone, and your knowledge and passion and expertise is in what you do. You can find out more by going to using and creating video to grow your business. I'll give you the link for that shortly. There's a Kent Women in Enterprise virtual networking on Thursday the 30th of September. It's 9:30 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. All of those events can be found and your place booked by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. There's a couple of other things I want to tell you about. Applications for the fifth round of the Self-Employed Income Support Scheme, SEISS, are now open. Claims must be made by next week, the 30th of September, and you can check your eligibility and make your claim by going to gov.uk/guidance-claimer-grant. That's gov.uk/guidance-claimer-grant. You can also receive 2 days of free business support to help drive your business forward. Startup owners in East Sussex, Essex and Kent can register for the Business Success Programme funded by the South East Local Enterprise Partnership and delivered by WSX Enterprise. Find out more about this scheme by going to digital.wsxenterprise.co.uk. That's digital.wsxenterprise.co.uk. There's the London Resort Small Business Hub. The London Resort Small Business Hub has an excellent launch, attracting over 800 SMEs. Basically, the London Resort is a massive project taking place over the next few years. And if you'd like to be considered as a supplier, no matter how small, medium or large size you are, if you go to londonresort.info/suppliers, you can register there as a potential supplier for that project. There are also grants available for the low carbon economy. Locase for the low carbon economy in the South East offers grants of up to £10,000 to SMEs. To check your eligibility, go to locase.co.uk. That's locase.co.uk, and check to see if you're eligible for a low carbon £10,000 grant. All of the webinars that I've been talking about over the last few months, if you miss them, they can all be found on demand. So you can go and review them all by going to pop over to the new hub, where you'll find our most popular webinars that were all recorded and you can watch and participate in whenever you wish. To find them, if you go to fsb.org.uk/skills-hub/on-demand. That's fsb.org.uk/skills-hub/on-demand. And that's if you've missed any of the webinars that we've talked about over the last few months and you'd like to catch up with them. That's the FSB news for this week. Do enjoy. There's some interesting events and webinars going on, as always, with this Federation of Small Business.
If I could just butt in there, Paul.
Sorry?
If I could just butt in there. While you're reading that out, I realised something else I've missed, apart from playing to, you know, the nice theatres and stuff. It's the local business community.
Yeah.
It's, I think, with all the people I haven't seen now for 18 months, 2 years.
Yep.
I used to go to networking events for the drum school and the drum circles.
Absolutely.
And it's really active out there, isn't it? And I, so I'm going to get a foot back in there again, I think. I'm going to say hello.
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right, Phil. you know, I mean, I made reference earlier to something that I saw you do at one of those networking events with your percussion stuff. You're right, we haven't done anything for 18 months, have we? And it's really all got to, we've got to get it all going again.
And what's helped bring that home? I've got a tweet from Zeenat Norani, who holds a radio show on this program.
On this station, Mindset Matters.
To do with wellness and mindset.
Yeah. Well,
drumming and percussion events, that's one of the things that we didn't mention in our chat. It can do wonders for mindset, for self-confidence, for wellness. It covers loads of things. So I'm looking forward to having a chat with her.
Yeah, no, it'd be good. And you're absolutely right, you know, things like music, you know, just making a noise can just, I don't know, it just invigorates you. We were, again, talking about this. If you, you know, one of the first things we always, or we used to, I don't know about these days, but one of the first things we all buy a baby is a rattle. Yeah, because, you know, we realise young humans, really small humans, like making a noise.
Yeah.
And they find it enjoyable.
Well, there's a chap that, I can't remember his first name, his last name is Remo, and he's he's understood to be the sort of the godfather of the modern day drum circle. And somebody once asked him, you know, who do you want to give drum circles through? Who's your demographic? And he said, my demographic is anybody alive.
Right.
and that's absolutely right. I've done events where there've been babies at, children at, I've done events for disabled people, old folks' homes, etc. And it always brings a smile to people's faces.
Absolutely.
And they're communicating in a different way again. And it's it's a never-ending story, really, rhythm. It just keeps going.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I absolutely couldn't agree more. The South East Cyber Resilience Centre welcomes a new director. Detective Superintendent Andy Richardson has taken up a new role as director of the South East Cyber Resilience Centre, leading its fight to tackle the threat of cybercrime. Andy's an experienced senior investigating officer whose policing career has spanned over 25 years. He joins the team from his current role with the South East Regional Organised Crime Unit, where he was head of the Cyber and Economic Crime Division, as well as a Digital Forensic Unit. So welcome, Andy. It's something we need a lot because increasingly, sadly, in this digitally connected world, criminals are as smart as everyone else and can use technology, as we've all found out, I'm sure, to our chagrin at one stage or another. Creative Motion is a leading video production company based in Maidstone, Kent, and is at the forefront of video content production, drone filming, digital marketing, interactive design, live event filming, audio-visual equipment hire and event services. Their experienced drone pilots and camera operators are equipped with some of the most technologically advanced drone models and camera systems currently used in the industry today. There literally isn't any production we can't work with, from large drones capable of carrying up to 8K broadcast quality cameras like the Red Epic and Alexa Mini, to the smaller, more agile and lightweight models. Our drone service include 4 to 8K aerial drone filming, heavy lift, 10 meter CAA permission to operate in congested areas, 650 foot permission, night flight permission, drone filming indoor and outdoor, UK and overseas operation, and they have £10 million worth of public liability insurance. You can find out all about the services they offer by going to their website, which is www.creativemotion.co.uk.
I love a drone.
Do you? Have you played with a drone?
I played with my sons, but it frightened the life out of me.
Yeah.
I gave the controls back almost instantly.
Right.
I don't like it. Yeah, but that was fun. And the quality of the filming is amazing.
Yeah. It's just, when I was a kid, when I was about 12 or 13, I had a remote control Spitfire. Okay. And this thing was about 2.5 feet long. And it actually had a petrol engine, and you had to get it going, and it actually flew with a petrol engine, and then you had to take it off and fly it. And I was terrified of the damn thing, yeah, because, you know, it cost a lot of money back then, and it was incredibly hard to fly. And when you think about it, it was quite a rare thing to have. And now, you know, you can buy drones for a few quid.
Yeah.
You know.
I've noticed more and more on TV that they're using more and more drones because they're cheaper than helicopters.
Yeah.
and it's something I'd love to do indoors. I'd love to have a drone flying around my rig,
right?
Where I stand.
Yeah,
I'll get that done one day. I'll ask my boys to get the right certificates and stuff. They come and do that for me. So they're fantastic bits of kit.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how technology develops and does things. I mean, I know that Amazon are experimenting with drone deliveries as well.
I've seen a couple going down the high street.
Yeah,
not here. I was in Milton Keynes. I saw one.
Right. Okay. Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it? It's technology is scary sometimes. You just think, well, where is it? Where are we going to end up with this? Where is it going to go eventually? I'm just trying to check out my collector's buddy. Martin has said, fantastic hearing from Kenwood Trust. Just search Kenwood Trust on eBay for charities, to which I didn't realise they were registered. We'll edit some of my listings to raise some funds for their good cause. Oh, well, thank you, Martin. So that's brilliant. So there you go. Martin's going to try and raise some funds for Kenwood Trust. So thank you so much for that, Martin. That's really brilliant of you. Just trying to make sure I haven't missed anybody. I'm sure I have, and if I have, I do apologise, but we've had quite a few tweets today, and trying to keep on top of them all isn't the easiest thing in the world, and we're fast running out of time too, and it's been a packed show this week. I can't see anything I've missed, I don't think, but I probably have, and if I have, I do apologise. It's not intentional. Twitter doesn't always show you everything when you get a lot of activity. Anyway, here's a quick update that is coming soon. The Southeast Construction Expo. They'll be live at the South of England Event Centre on the 21st of October. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event. And that means if you're exhibiting, you will also, in addition to your physical stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products or services. If you want to find out more about this event, it's taking place at Ardingly, which is the South of England Event Centre, 21st of October 2021. You can go to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. Check it out. Now, here's a bit of a weird thing. Well, it's not weird, but I've never done anything like this before. It's Benenden Hospital. And Benenden Hospital, for those of you who don't know, is a kind of private hospital. It started off as a TB clinic, and then it became the private hospital for the Civil Service Union. And nowadays, it's just a private hospital, and they handle certain ailments there. But they've got some free webinars. Now, are you ready for this? There's a webinar on the Raffaello procedure for treatment of piles. There's promoting continence for women, and Eurolift procedure for enlarged prostate. So if you're fascinated by any of those three subjects, there's a free webinar that you can attend to find out about it. And the way to do that is to go to the Benenden Hospital website. So check that out.
I can just say my wife had an issue with her arm.
Right.
She fell onto a train.
Wow.
Inside it, into a tube, and her arm was put out of joint.
Wow.
And she got her treatment at Benenden Hospital.
Right.
And the level of service is fantastic.
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
So if they're listening, thank you very much, and your breakfasts are great.
It is actually a fantastic place. It's a lovely hospital. It really is. Coming soon, we have talked about this a couple of times, and in fact Sue, who's the person behind this, has been on the show about a month or so ago, Sue Moon, 2nd of October at the Spa Hotel Tunbridge Wells, 6:30 p.m. till midnight, black tie and cocktail dresses, Our Moon Charity Ball. Our Moon is an educational charity that's working in Africa with young people. And we change one life to change a thousand. You go back and listen to the show that Sue was on, Sue Moon. It's a fascinating charity. Anyway, they're trying to raise money, and they got a black tie ball, and it's happening on the 2nd of October. And tickets are available through enthused.com. Or you can go to Our Moon's website, which is ourmoon.org.uk. If you go to their website, you can find out all about the charity, and you can book your tickets for this black tie event on the 2nd of October. So we'll see you there, hopefully. And just one more thing before we kind of finish for this week. Or two more things I've got. There's a new confidential domestic abuse victim empowerment service funded by the Police and Crime Commissioner that will support male victims in Kent and Medway of domestic abuse. In a first for Kent, a new victim service wholly focused on men will offer support to male victims of domestic abuse. The new domestic abuse victim empowerment service will be managed by Ashford-based charity Dads Unlimited and has secured 2 years funding for this vital service from the Police and Crime Commissioner. Male victims of domestic abuse should phone the Dave, it's called Dave, the system, should phone the Dave helpline in confidence on Ashford, which is 01233 680 160, or register for confidential support by visiting the website www.savedave.org.uk, that's savedave.org.uk, or call them on Ashford 01233 680 160. The King's Summit 2021 is going ahead as a physical event. It's less than 8 weeks away. It's probably nearer than that now. It's less than 6 weeks away. On the 14th of October 2021 at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, and you are invited. In past years, business owners seeking wisdom and fresh insights to grow their business have found this to be one of the most valuable days in the business calendar. For the first time in nearly 2 years, like-minded, ambitious business owners like you will be able to meet together face-to-face and discuss the challenges and opportunities for the future of your business. This year will be unique as every business will be able to promote their products and services to the room on our promotions wall. There will be fascinating insights into surviving and thriving through the uncertain days ahead and plenty of time for networking. We'll also be encompassing the government's latest initiative to develop peer networks, and you will be able to practically build your own peer group at the King's Summit. Don't go it alone in these very challenging times. Peer groups are a proven way to build a sustainable business because you are able to draw on the experience and expertise of fellow entrepreneurs who help you navigate the choppy waters ahead. So to find out all about this event, if you go to www.thekingssummit.com, that's www.thekingssummit.com. And check that out. I think that's about everything we've got this week. Oh, no, I've got one more here, which I'm just going to quickly read out, and then we're going to reach the end of the show. Work is underway on a £15 million investment to create a world-class business park aiming to attract leading technology and science firms. The Innovation Park Medway project is said to be a key part of boosting the economy in the towns, providing scores of highly skilled jobs and opportunities for training when it opens alongside Rochester Airport. Split across two phases either side of the runway, the 24.7-acre site is set to be home to 34 plots, offering state-of-the-art facilities for research and development. The development is one of the main projects led by Medway Council as part of its regeneration plans for the area, which also include redevelopment plans for Chatham Town Centre, more than 10,000 homes on the Hugh Peninsula, and £418 million development along the riverside in Rochester. So do look out for all of that activity happening over the coming months. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a massive, massive thank you to Phil Wilson, percussionist, drummer, the brains behind Junk Jam.
Hitter of stuff
in a very, very melodic way as well. Phil, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the invite. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
No, pleasure. And we look forward to you being on Zenat Show at some time in the future. I also want to say a massive thank you to Penny Williams, CEO of Kenwood Trust. I'll be back on Thursday with a Business Bunker Extra show. And this week we're featuring Jade Pluck, who is a sustainability consultant. That's Thursday at 1 p.m. But that's it for another week. We'll be back next week. See you all soon. Stay safe.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.